If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, talkers. We are hanging out with Lori and Julia right before the weekend. We can almost taste it. It kind of feels weird having a full work week here after that nice short holiday work week last week, right, guys?
I'm just telling Julia.
You can just... hear what Lori just said to me.
Okay, what did I miss?
The shade is continuing. So I'm looking.
This is shade, Julia.
Yeah. I just said, oh, I can hardly take this love on tour photos, you know, these pictures.
And
you're
like,
what's love on tour?
I have no idea what she's talking about because we're talking about five other things and you say that.
I'm trying the Harry Styles. I'm trying to cleanse.
How am I supposed to know that?
Well, that's what his tour is called, Love on Tour.
Oh, for God's sakes. And you know what she says to me then?
Mm-hmm. What?
Sometimes you're just really not worthy of this job. And I'm like, I wish I would have been on the sick days when I didn't want to come to work.
Right.
Jeez. All right.
Okay, so Harry, you know.
Oh my gosh, Lori, you are good.
I know.
And she's a good shader.
I am good. Come pull up a chair under my shady bone chair.
I've only lived on her for 30 years and I'm still alive.
Oh, yeah. You're doing a great job with it.
Oh, I only give crap to people I really care about. Sure. And the best crap is safe for the people I really care about. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, then you must love her to death.
Sure, Jan.
And then that's my mom's name. I don't know why you even say that.
It's you know, from the Brady Bunch. When Marcia looks and goes, sure, Jan. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like T.J. Holmes and Amy Robach trying to say that they left their spouses in August and they haven't been having an affair. And everyone's like, sure, Jan. Mm-hmm.
The deets on them coming home from Turks and Caicos and then she sits in a seat and is texting him.
Mm-hmm. And the big public display of affection.
The butt slap?
No. Uh-oh. The public display of affection on the plane with Andrew as he gave up his aisle seat for her window because she was having a panic attack. But really, she just wanted to put her phone out more in the aisle so she could text.
Mm-hmm.
But luckily, Eagle Eye Nancy was in 16A.
Isn't that something?
And the woman remembered her seat. She kept her stubs, you know, because she wanted to... show her.
No, she had the receipts.
She had literally had the receipts, but she wanted because she shared with a couple of girlfriends. She said, I don't know, you guys. This doesn't sound like a text you'd send a woman. And then they were like, well, she works with T.J. Holmes. So this small group of girlfriends knew about this.
This is unbelievable.
Went full Nancy Drew. Had to track it down.
Totally.
That's awesome.
It's so awesome. So anyway, and what's also awesome is that Harry did what many of us knew that he would do, and that he would dump Olivia Wilde, you know, within a couple months of Don't Worry, Darling coming out. And it lasted a month longer than I thought. But he timed it. He's such a good gentleman in his breakup with Olivia Wilde because he literally used the excuse that Love on Tour was going around the world for like 3 or 4 months. And so he just said, babe,
it's not going to work.
It's not going to work. I'm on tour. I'm in Lima. Basically,
I'm sorry you're crazy for me, but I
can't talk to my mom about it. And you got too much baggage.
You really have a ton of baggage.
You have so much baggage, and I don't really need it right now. And I'm going to meet some lovely ladies on the road. And I mean, I just, you know, love everything about Harry Styles. But here he is. He's on tour. And yesterday, a nice young lady who was at the concert last night, Josie, did a little video. She had, you know, she was far away, but I think it was in Lima or Santiago. Is Santiago in Chile? Who knows their geography?
Oh, I do
not.
Yes,
it is. I think it is.
Last night in Santiago, Harry pulled out a guitar and did this song in honor of Christine McVie.
But she's
very far away. Harry has not sung that song. Christine McVie just died. The fact that he learned how to play the guitar, learned the words. I mean, don't you love that?
You're so silly.
He's so good, Harry.
I'm glad that we can like him again a little bit.
I never stopped liking him because I had faith that he and Olivia, that was just like, that's going to be a great
romance. That was
a
messy one, though.
No, it was. But for him, I mean, it was
for him, it was fun. For her, messy.
Messy, 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 yeah. But I love that Harry is so thoughtful that way, that to his little songbird, British songbird,
wasn't
Christine.
Wasn't he friends with Stevie Nicks? I feel like he and Stevie Nicks have a good relationship. He's an old soul.
Yes.
I feel like he could talk. I wish Mick Jagger would embrace him.
Well,
he doesn't want to.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, remember he said something kind of condescending about him.
Anyway, yeah, I just love that he did that. You know, I just want to give Harry some props while he's love on tour and just looking like everything. I mean, I really love to see him in front of an international crowd. I would advise Olivia to not go and see the 80,000, you know,
women gushing after him.
Oh, yeah. He needed to be single. Okay. When you're on a world tour at 27, my advice is 100% be single. You know?
Oh, God, Laurie.
You got to be.
Who are you?
You got to be. Right?
I mean, but he's a celebrity magnet. He's like rotates to a new bombshell in Hollywood every, I think it's like 8 months is about the average.
Well, he dated Olivia for 2 years.
Yeah, he's a serial monogamist.
Seriously?
Though. Yeah,
seriously,
he's
but
not.
He also, they had
COVID's
a year.
COVID's a microcosm.
They had a pandemic romance too.
Yeah. I have to say something. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if the gang knows that Lori made a strategic decision early on in her life not to date any professional basketball, baseball, or football players because...
Or
anyone
rockers,
professional or rockers. Waxer. I mean, and she clearly articulated this because why, Laurie?
They have too much opportunity to have other women, and I know, you know, what temptation is like, so I realized I'm not going to change that.
Mm-hmm.
So aim one step lower than
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
I had a
will.
Friend who casually dated a couple of Vikings, and I can attest to that.
I mean,
fun for a minute, and then quickly it just gets...
And then you can't trust.
You can't.
I loved it, though, that this was your strategic... This was in her 20s, Ellie.
Except I use more colorful language. Mm-hmm. They got too much, you know what.
Yeah, you go, all right, look at the time. It's time for random thoughts.
Can I just point out Madonna
Please.
Is at Art Basel in a tuxedo, a corset, and carrying what looks to be Lady Exercise's riding crop. We've posted it for you. So I might bring that to the Christmas party with my sparkly dress. I might just carry
Laurie,
a riding crop to the Christmas party.
I don't think
do you
that's
double dog,
safe. Double dog dare you. I so double dog dare you. Oh, yeah. I know you at this party. I ran into a cameraman or TV guy yesterday and he goes, are you guys going to be hosts?
Yeah, no, God, it's always fun when we do, but it's
but
scary.
We never host. We just seem to cause...
We end up being like drunken MCs. We're like Dean
but
Martin.
But not on stage, kind of over to the side.
Yeah.
I know, we are like Dean Martin and who has Sammy Davis Jr. Oh my God, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Julia's random thoughts.
He looks like that puppet. I don't know. He's had cheeky implants. It's just random. That's all it is.
All right, here, guess what today is.
What is it?
It's the Zipper, Sam, and Britney's birthday.
Boom.
My
Boom.
Son, Lori's dad, and Britney Spears.
Right.
But besides that...
It's December 2nd.
The video game that changed the world turned 50 today, and I give you Pong.
Oh, oh. Classic.
And if you could find the soundbite, Grant or Ellie, I think that'd be fun. So here...
The Pong soundbite? Yeah, yeah, I guess I do.
Beep,
yeah.
Boom. And then when you go fast... So here's what happened. It was Atari's breakthrough invention that remains a touchstone in the history of gaming. It's at the Smithsonian.
Yeah. The Imagine being the person who invented that.
I'm going to tell you about it. The first commercially successful video game in history. It was a warm-up exercise that Nolan Bushnell and Ted Dabney, who founded Atari in 1972, the first engineer that they hired to join the team... was a California graduate that never played a game before. They really didn't exist. And he was assigned, Elkhorn was assigned kind of, you know, just try to find something for us to do that might be a game.
Right.
Just kind of create something. He recalled that he was asked to create Pong, which we know now was just an exercise. Atari had been contracted by General Electric to deliver a basic video game. Pong couldn't be more simpler because it just did beep, 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 beep. And so what kind of happened is they developed this.
There it is.
Yep. Beep. And that was it. So funny. They installed the machine at a local bar called Andy's Cap Tavern as a new form of a playable game besides darts and pool. And it quickly struck gold. It was too popular for the bar to handle. According to Pong lore, people lined up for their turn to stuff quarters in the machine until a manager finally called Atari Elkhorn, this guy, and said, the coin box is overflowing, blah, blah, blah. It costs $500 to manufacture, and they charge bars $100 to put them in. They went on to sell 18,000 consoles that would go in bars, but then a year later, here's kind of a fun little fact. They couldn't believe the sudden success, so they needed to hire more engineers. Mm-hmm. And in 1973, Elkhorn hired Steve Jobs, who was a young hippie in sandals who arrived at their offices asking for a job. He told the newspaper that Jobs, who would go on to co-found Apple, just 3 years later, was kind of a pain to work with. He had a real problem with body odor, which saw him, they put him on night shifts, which was better for everybody.
Oh, my God, the mad genius.
I know. In 1975, they partnered with Sears Department Stores, and Pong was the Christmas present of the year.
Yeah.
We got it. Did you get it that first year?
No.
I mean, we thought it was the best thing that had ever happened.
Yeah. Well, remember, we had lived
you were in Japan. You weren't
so
here.
We were, like, already ahead. They already had, like, stuff like that. Plus, they had the pachinko parlors.
Oh, yeah. Didn't have anything.
Which were, like, so much fun. So, they kind of, you know, it's no surprise that Atari, because, the Japanese were always ahead on all this kind of stuff.
Right. And so then what happened is after Pong got released in the home version, suddenly new games overtook Pac-Man and Space Invaders. Right. And that was the end of it.
Right.
Because it was too simple. But I mean, it was a zeitgeist. Yeah. I mean, it was the gift. I was surprised we got it. We got that. So anywho,
I think that's why we didn't get it. Because we were like,
you weren't here.
We were ahead of
I don't know. Did they have Sears in Japan?
No, but Atari.
I know.
Is a Japanese company.
I know. Okay, listen to this art display at Art Basel that you're talking about in Miami, where the Richie Riches go to look at each other and buy art.
And Madonna's sex book is, up for sale.
Yes, it is. She's got the original. Isn't it the original?
They made some reproduction something like that. That's why she's there with her writing crop. She's making people pay.
Well, she's there. Leonardo DiCaprio, the Kardashians are there. Yeah, yeah. So this is what an art installation is this year. They put in an ATM that is a wealth board. So every time people use the ATM, it displays how much a person has in their bank account.
Oh.
And so like golf, where you have a leaders board, they have a leaders board of wealth, and it features this one gentleman, currently an unknown man in a pink shirt. He had $2.9 million in his leaderboard. And here's what
it's
the
like
guy
video who, game leaderboards. That's
and
hilarious.
Here's what the guy who created this art installation
you
said.
See the same guy who pinned the banana on the wall.
No,
and let
that's
it rot?
No, that was Banksy.
No, that wasn't Banksy.
Oh, it was someone else. It was someone else. He said the ATM leaderboard is an extremely literal distillation, and that is the word, of wealth flaunting impulses, and he's so proud of it. Can you imagine?
That whole story makes me roll my eyes.
But that's Art Basel. Yeah. It is the rich, fluffing the rich, loving the rich.
Being... It used to be like, I thought, a January thing.
I think it's always, in December. I kind of think it's always in December.
It's a very much, look at me kind of a thing. And it's also a place for Leonardo to be surrounded by models. In 1992, 2002.
Okay, here's the happy story of the day. We're going to celebrate over the weekend the birthday of the world's oldest animal named Jonathan. He is a tortoise. He's going to be 190 years old.
I was going to guess 180.
190 years old. He was born.
These giant tortoises can live for so long.
And he lives on St. Helena, which is part of the British Empire, the little island that Napoleon was sent to in exile off the coast of Africa.
Okay.
And his estimation on his shell and everything he's been through since the early 1800s. There's picture of Jonathan with some workers from 1882.
Oh, my word.
So
that tortoise is living history.
I know. In 2022. If it could talk. In 2022, he received the Guinness World Record for the world's oldest living land animal.
Wow.
And the world's oldest tortoise ever. And his caretaker says it's been a privilege to look after the elderly animal. He's described as magnificent.
It just goes to show you that, like, tortoises have known the value of a helmet for years.
Right. We just discovered
that's a reason they live a long time. Yeah.
You're right.
Their whole body is a helmet. They're very well protected.
That is very true. So, Jonathan, 190.
I've heard that they can feel their shells. So the tortoises, they like when you scratch their shells.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like puppies, and they like wiggle.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, they're wild. Didn't they used to have big old tortoises at the Como Zoo?
Yes, they did. We'd ride them. Okay. There's a special Christmas song called "The Little Drummer Boy" that was done with Bing Crosby and David Bowie, and it was featured on
Do You Know It's Christmas?
Yes.
Wasn't it the very first issue?
The Little Drummer Boy. It was a CBS Christmas special that Bing Crosby was doing in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked David Bowie to be on it.
Wow.
He did not want to do the show at all because he just thought...
I bet he did it for his mom.
His mom asked him to do it.
I knew it. He was afraid
that the cameo with Bing Crosby would come off cheesy and hurt his career in the early 70s because he's the Rocket Man.
No, he's...
He was Ziggy Stardust.
After dancing in the street, he was worried about looking cheesy. No, because this is in the 70s.
That'd be before.
Yeah, this is long when Bing Crosby was still alive and was a big deal before we knew... How awful he was.
Yeah.
But his according to Bing Crosby's daughter, David wasn't going to do the show until his mom said, no, you have to work with Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby, I knew it. Of course.
And it's one of the best songs, holiday songs to this day.
Very good.
There you go. That's all I got.
Yeah, I could see him being worried that would, X his cool factor.
100%. Yeah. I get it.
Okay, what is the meaning of this? Well, I'll tell you what. Kelly Clarkson is dedicated because she... had Cher on today. I think Cher's perfume, another perfume launch. That's what I think is going on with Cher.
Right,
yeah,
I'm going to find out.
And so Cher was on Kelly Clarkson's show. And so Kelly had Dolly on the day before. I mean, Kelly is really getting
the
A-list. She's got Cher. Cher is in the studio in Burbank. And they zoom in Kelly, who's clearly in her pajamas and sick. Because she's like, I'm not missing Cher, and the fact that Cher didn't cancel or anything, just shows like what a pro both these women are. But, Kelly, I think this is why her talk show, because she just is always herself. She's in her pajamas. She comes right out to Cher to ask her. Because the biggest news that Cher has had is the fact that she's in this hot romance with a guy 40 years younger than she is. Here we go.
I want to talk about feeling good. So you're in a new relationship now. So how are things and what's your favorite part about it? Because it's important to find a good partner.
Okay. Well, on paper, it's kind of ridiculous. But in real life, we get along great. He's fabulous. And I don't give men qualities that they don't deserve. He's very kind. He's very smart. He's very talented and he's really funny. So, and I think he's quite handsome.
That's the thing. Well, all he's right. Smitten. That's the thing for me too, though, is humor. Like I just like somebody to make me laugh. I want to feel good too, and since you're busy making everybody feel good, you want somebody to do that for you as well. So I love that for you. Congratulations. That's awesome. It's hard enough just to live in this world. It's nice to have love. So it's nice to like
Kelly's telling us so much.
Let Kelly would speak what Kelly said.
Yes, that's
so
what
basically
he did not make her laugh. We knew that.
She's always on performing, always on, and then she didn't get.
And even how she brought it up to Cher, let's talk about feeling good. You've got a new relationship, and because Cher seems so obviously happy.
Yes.
And I love that Cher is, on paper, it's kind of ridiculous because of their age difference, 40 years. And she said, but in real life, we get along great. And I like that she said, and I don't give men praise where they don't deserve
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But what she told Kelly a little bit later was that, listen, if it weren't for younger men liking me, I would have been done dating when I was 40. Men my age and men that were older than me never liked me. I mean, she and Kelly got right down into
it. And you think of it, she married Bono, who was
Sonny Bono.
Sonny Bono, Bono's cousin. Sonny Bono. He was related to Bono.
He was 10 years older uh-huh. than she was. And then, you know, she and Greg Allman were similar ages, I think. Maybe there was a few years. But she just said to Kelly, she said, men my age, since I was 40, yeah. they didn't like me. I was too much for them. And, you know, that's totally mm-hmm. relatable. So anyway, and then people who've been yelling at Cher about the age difference, she just did her tweet was, we're grown-ups.
Yes.
And you know that Cher is putting thought into it because she uncapped her caps.
Oh, I like you know, that.
She's kind of famous. Just, it's all caps.
I don't doing caps on your phone is so hard because you have to take cap letter.
Well, you can put it on.
Can you? I don't know how to do that.
I think Cher's on lock,
yes,
and she doesn't know how
get
to unlock
okay, because I don't know how to do that yet.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then the other thing I was just going to say about the Cher. No, nothing. Okay. Here's one. Mel B. You know the Spice Girls.
Mm-hmm.
She doing an interview on the big nasty show in Britain to promote something that she's doing, but she had to name the worst celebrity she's ever met. And she said,
she didn't have to, she could have pleaded the fifth, but she did.
No, she did. So there's a few: James Corden, Jerry Halliwell, Jessie J, and me.
So Jerry Halliwell's another Spice Girl.
Yeah,
so,
and she herself, names herself,
and then
Jessie J, but James Corden in the first. And then she says, listen, I think you always have to be nice to the people that you work with, whether it be production, camera guys, sound, lighting. We all work for the same thing, so you should always be nice. And he hasn't been very nice. In fact, he's the biggest D-head in Hollywood. But she used a more colorful...
Isn't it interesting?
He's universal.
He has such a horrible
reputation.
He's
a condescending man.
Wow.
Person. Whatever. Just ask the guy from Balthazar.
I know.
Remember
egg
that?
White omelet.
Yeah, egg white. No.
Yolk. Egg yolks.
Egg yolk omelet, but because she's allergic to eggs.
Is it just,
good Lord.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, she just said he is the biggest D-head. And I think we all know it now. Ellen said, hold my beer.
No, and Ellen and Portia had their 18th anniversary yesterday. Yeah, no kidding.
Ellen is so happy that she's out of there,
yes.
You know, because now the biggest D-head isn't her anymore. It's James Corden.
Oh, that's great. That's true. It did pass the torch on for sure.
For sure.
Oh, wow. Hold my beer.
I got to just say that Jen Shah must be out of her mind trying to tell everybody that the glass of champagne she dumped on her friend Angie's head.
We're talking about Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City was like a friendly joke thing that her friend should have understood. And I'm like, in what world?
Lori.
In what world?
And everyone just stared at it. I would have said, what a dink you are.
Nobody said a word to her.
No one said a word.
It's bad enough.
Being your dink friend who pours champagne on someone and thinks it's funny. It was horrible. She's a horrible human being.
The truest thing that was said last night was Whitney on the plane is here we go with another domestic trip because one of our housewives can't leave the country. Jen Shah turned in her passport. I'm like, finally. But I like Whitney for that reason. She's refreshingly... just will say like
what she's going through her closet now and shopping used to be my way to soothe myself.
Used to be.
Her husband lost his job.
But anyway, that was a textbook example of gaslighting.
I hated that show.
With Jen telling people that because her friend of 20 years should have understood that dumping in a mean way, a glass of champagne while you're dismissing someone for, like, that whole fight was just so...
I hated that show.
Yeah.
I fast-forwarded. Jeff was watching it, like, why? Mm-hmm. What is...
Yeah.
It's a hard one to watch. And then Whitney.
You never like it when it gets to this.
This is when I tune out.
Yeah.
I want to be there for the fun.
This is inevitable, though. This is the pattern on the housewife.
I don't like it.
But, Julia, they all end up fighting with each other on every single episode.
This is why I have ditched every single one. You can hang in there for us.
I will.
Because you can go through it. I don't like that
stuff. I wanted to Hollywood speak the episode, and they should have just called it Gaslighting 101.
Ugh.
Because that's what Jen Cha was doing.
And I
loved when Angie was going, and I paid for Coach Cha's party. And then Bravo did the nod and the wink with cake, $600 receipt flying in.
That was funny.
I mean, that was some good.
And then Jen Cha said, you offered to have the party. Why would I pay for her husband? A friend offers to host it at her house. It's like me saying, Lori, you can use my house for Casey's birthday party.
Yeah, but... You know,
but because I say that, you're not going to pay me.
Yeah.
And you're planning this extravagance.
Well, this is why Jen was a good con woman.
Gosh, she was.
You know,
and
she conned
a friend made me believe that she shouldn't have paid. And I'm like, what the hell?
A $15,000
party.
Yeah.
She's horrible. Jeez.
I guess when you're.
She's horrible.
Yeah. Anyway, Britney Spears, the musical, the jukebox show, Once Upon a One More Time, is headed to Broadway next summer.
Yes, it is.
But she's not part of it.
Yes.
Oh, but the nice thing is that she definitely has come out to say that she is in support of it.
She does, yes. Because it's a musical about fairy princesses reading feminist literature.
Cute.
I know.
With her songs.
Yeah, it's going to feature Oops, I Did It Again, Lucky, Toxic. Circus, yes. Toxic. It sounds like it. And it was sold out in its previous run when it played at the Shakespeare Theater Company in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, it sounds like
it
fun.
Wrapped up in January and it sold out all their shows back then. So.
It's all these iconic fairy princesses who end up reading Betty Friedan's The Feminine Mystique, which was a groundbreaking book when that came out, like in, I don't know, 72 or 69.
That sounds like the old Winx show that they did a revival of that bombed, that I was excited about at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm all about the feminist fairies.
Yeah, well, it was a 1963 book, The Feminine Mystique.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've talked to your mom about this. Like,
I'm
she
sure.
said that it was so eye-opening.
I'm sure.
Because the pill had
my
only been out for a year.
My mom didn't have time to read that year. She had me.
No, but she might have. That book has, that's, people
it's
still
been
read
around
it.
Forever. Yeah, yeah, I'm just teasing, Lori.
Yeah. Anyway, so Cinderella, Rapunzel, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty, all singing Britney songs.
Could be fun.
I'm going
to Funny Girl with Lea Michele first, Lori.
Okay, fine. I think this is a musical I could get behind.
Well, then go.
It's not open yet.
I know it, damn it.
All right, we'll be back.
For 9 years, a dangerous man terrorized women, breaking into homes and raping his victims before killing a brilliant young scientist in 1998.
The more the victims resisted, the more violent he became.
Then he suddenly stops, leaving police with a lot of clues and one unknown subject.
I'm Paul Wagner. Join me for Unknown Subject, Season 3 of WTOP's American Nightmare podcast series. Search American Nightmare Podcast on all podcast platforms today.